I'm Health Coach Heather, and you are listening to episode 165, Should You Homeschool? With Mike Levitt. Welcome to the Healthy Families Rule podcast. This podcast is a resource for families who are on a path to optimal wellness, but still aren't able to reach their physical and mental goals. I'm Heather Mitchell, and with over 10 years' experience in nutrition and exercise and a certified master health coach, I'm uniquely qualified to help you and your family achieve optimal health. So for the next few minutes, set aside your concerns and learn how you can self-repair your body and mind and experience greater joy in your life. All right, welcome back to the Healthy Families Rule podcast. I am your host, Heather Mitchell, and today we've got Mike Levitt here. Mike Levitt has his own podcast. The name of his podcast is And If Love Remains. Mike is a homeschooler. He's a dad, of course. He's a husband, I'm sure. And he's got some amazing stories he can tell us about homeschooling today. And Mike's podcast, And If Love Remains, is a great podcast that I think offers listeners a new perspective on ideas of how to cultivate love, how to have deeper and more meaningful connections, and how they view the world through that lens of love. Is that correct, Mike? How do you define your podcast for us?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. You know, I really appreciate you having me on your show. It's a real pleasure. But yeah, my podcast, my son asked me what my podcast was generally about. And I said, well, it's about things that I dig. It's about things that I'm into. And he's like, so it's like the everything bagel contest or podcast. I said, yeah, I guess that's right. So, we talk definitely about love. We talk about relationships. But I'm also very interested. I'm a musician by training. I have on some fantastic musicians from the world of classical music, as well as jazz and rock and pop. I love talking to people about science and literature. I've had some of the top scholars on regarding C.S. Lewis, and I've had some amazing nutritional coaches and life coaches as yourself on my show. So it's been a real blessing. I love talking to people who are smarter than me, and that's my goal.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix of all things that are you, right? That kind of light you up.
Very eclectic and it's kind of crazy, but I do enjoy it. You know, we talk a lot of liberty movement type stuff and I get to have my friends on and talk about things that I think that are important and interesting and moving things forward in the world.
That's so fun. So why the name And If Love Remains? Where did that come from?
That actually comes from a Rush song. My favorite band is Rush, and Neil Peart's a fantastic lyricist, and there's a song called Bravado, and it's, the whole song's really amazing, but there's a line that says that and if love remains, though everything is lost, we will pay the price, but we will not count the cost. And so I think the idea being, you know, that you could look at it a lot of different ways. He's a pretty sophisticated writer, but, I love that. It stuck with me that if love remains, if that's all we've got, if that's all we can build on something, we can build on that and go from there.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. I like that, title for sure.
Thank you.
It's a great title. So we're going to talk about homeschooling today. Are you cool with that?
Will your audience be cool with that?
I think so, because actually part of my niche market are homeschoolers.
Okay.
So
right on. I think it's a really important, it's been a big part of our family's life. My wife and I have homeschooled our four children and it's funny when you brought up the subject, I told her that, she looked at me kind of, you know, cross-eyed, as she tends to do sometimes, and goes, well, I'll be really interested to listen to that podcast to know what you know about homeschooling.
She probably does the bulk of the work, or do you guys share? Yeah. Okay.
I definitely married up. Again, I try to surround myself with smarter people than me. That's my goal. So,
okay, cool.
It's definitely a passion of mine. And I think it's I think that if you were to lay me down on a couch and ask about the state of the world and state of things, I would probably say I'm a pretty optimistic guy. But I do think we're kind of in our 40 years in the wilderness timeframe, and it will be the next generation that pulls us out.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that too. So I want to first get started with this question then.
Sure.
What inspired you guys to start homeschooling, and how did you get started doing that?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's interesting. My wife is a teacher by training. She got her degree, a teaching degree. Her mother is a public school teacher. My mother has taught in public schools. I had a wonderful experience in school. You know, we're not that kind of family that like grew up hating school or having a bad experience in school and things like that. I had a couple of things happened early in our marriage, where I had a friend who homeschooled. He was a business mentor of mine, a dear friend, Jack Selduty, and his family homeschooled their children. And it was such an interesting experience talking to his kids and getting to know them, and seeing just how different they were from a standpoint of just they looked you in the eye, they shook your hand, they had interesting things to contribute to adult conversations. They thought outside the box. They were pretty well grounded, and it was really impressive to me to see that, and it kind of getting to know them pretty intimately. It shucked away a lot of the kind of preconceived notions that we have about homeschoolers and mm-hmm. you know, what their lifestyle is like. I mean, these people were travelers. They were they were worldly in the best sense of the word. You know, they were well read. It was a great experience for us. And then my oldest, when he was young, he was a pretty smart kid. He began to read pretty young. We would read to him as a kid, but when he was three, he was reading pretty sophisticated stuff. By the time before he was in kindergarten, he was reading the Chronicles of Narnia, and he would come to my wife and say things like, you know, I think Aslan is Jesus Christ. You know, we're like, oh, who are you? You know? Mm-hmm, and so yeah. As my wife and I thought about it, we're like, what is putting him in kindergarten going to do for this kid? You know, it didn't make sense to us. And so at first we just kind of, we really just put our faith in seeing what other people were doing and trying to decide, like, okay, how do we navigate this kind of new world of, you know, not sending our kids to school, and what responsibilities we're going to take. And my wife, obviously she took the bulk of that while I was working, but it was, she would experiment, as we had other children. Every child is very different, and all the things that school kind of, the things that we want in the best schools, you know, we want higher teacher to student ratios, we want individualized education, we want all those things. Well, we had that in our home. My wife knew my kids intimately. She knew exactly what they needed and what they wanted and what they desired. We were able to really help them direct their own education, and over time it kind of, we found homeschool groups that were super supportive and really helped us get into some of the Thomas Jefferson education kind of stuff, and that inspired us. We read a lot of books. My wife would read different styles of homeschooling, whether that was a very classical oriented, where with a lot of literature, or even unschooling and some of those things. And so we kind of incorporated kind of our own, what worked for our family you know, kind of system. And that's the beauty of homeschooling, is you're allowed to do that. You know,
yeah, it's
not a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. So you know, through trying to find people that were already homeschooling, and then just a lot of reading, that I think that's how we got started. It was just kind of step by step. I mean,
and it sounds like you're taking like a classical approach to the curriculum, the Thomas Jefferson approach. And is that right?
Yeah, primarily. You know, we definitely had some homeschool groups that were focused on that, and so we tapped into those resources a lot, and we enjoyed those. We thought they were great. We love, my kids love Shakespeare. In fact, they're putting on a play in a couple weeks again with another homeschool group, and it's a lot of fun. But we every year they study Shakespeare. They you know, it's funny that in today's age, there's no information that is not available to them. And so as a parent, you become more, especially as they get older, you become more of a consultant role in their own education. You know, what do you want to learn? What's going to be important in your life? You know, instead of playing the role of teacher and principal, you're playing more the role of counselor and consultant.
Yeah, it sounds like a good way to approach designing a curriculum for a kid.
Yeah, I think so. My kids have become, you know, and we made so many mistakes, but there's so much grace in homeschooling. I think there's not so much pressure. And I think that's something that I think new homeschool parents struggle with, especially if they've already been in the school system, is are my kids going to be quote on track? Are my kids going to be, you know, am I going to provide them everything that they need? And the answer is yes. And yes, they're on track is so different for each kid. I don't even really know what that means, because when a kid becomes passionate about a subject, they're going to naturally and easily delve into that subject deeply and widely. And that's what makes humans. And unfortunately, the school system itself tends to not encourage that kind of development. And so it does, it becomes very individualized. But it's also directed by, as a steward of your child, as the spiritual guide of your child, it becomes that allowing it takes on a different perspective of allowing them to make mistakes, fix mistakes, learn from mistakes, and at the same time really grow in their own education and gain confidence that they can overcome and succeed.
I love that so much. So it is uniquely tailored to each kid in a way. Yeah. When you start to approach it that way. I think the biggest fear people might have when considering homeschooling is, well, what if the mom is working full time from home anyways? And how is she going to continue working and put the time in for the kids? And are they just going to be on video games all day? These are some of the fears that I hear people who want to homeschool like bring up.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that at all?
I can try, because frankly, that was a decision that we made early on, that my wife was going to be available, for my kids. And we definitely have sacrificed financially. Like, I'm not going to lie, that it's been a at times a real burden. Not the homeschooling itself, but the fact that, you know, I'm a musician and a piano teacher, and you know, that is, you know, not the most lucrative of careers, but. You know, but those were the choices that we made for our lifestyle, and it was the right choices for us. You know, so, but I will say that I do know of moms who work both in and out of the home that homeschool. I know single parents that homeschool. I know, I know people of all walks of life. I've met them, I've talked to them, this is a lifestyle change. It is a sacrifice, and to borrow a cliche from you know, to borrow a cliche, it's for the children. And I really think like it's worth it. It's worth it. And that's what I would say is you will find a way. You will be blessed with inspiration and revelation and with whatever you need to take care of your children, because there's nothing more important to this world than your children growing up in an environment that is healthy, that encourages their success and does not put them on a put them in a class, you know, of people that they may not want to be in. And that's what school really does. So I would just encourage, like, there are resources, and let me add this, there are resources out there. There are people who homeschool in so many different ways. There are people that, you know, try to stay as close to a public school setting through, online schooling and things like that, that is not for us and our family, but I know people who use programs like that, all the way to, like I said, unschooling, and each of those people have, and family units have made those decisions and has been right for them. And so, I think that's what I would say is with the internet and with the technology and the resources that are available, no matter what walk of life you're in, you can do it.
I love it. Okay. So we have to ask this question then. What are some of the biggest challenges that you face as a homeschooler, right? A homeschooling parent.
Yeah.
And how do you address those challenges?
I think one of the challenges I'm not going to say this is one of the biggest ones, but I think it's one that people worry about. And it's something that I think about from time to time. It's the perception from outside. It's the, you know, the, people who, kind of put you in a box and assume your kids are a certain way. And so whether it's at church, you know, so much of our culture is revolved around school. Our kids meet each other in school. They hang out in school. They associate in schools. And I think this may also go to a concern that a lot of people have about homeschooling is, you know, the quote socialization issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that can be a difficult thing. Again, here in Arizona specifically, but I think all around the country, especially now, it was different when we started. But now there are so many homeschooling groups that I would just really recommend tapping into, and so many people that are supportive and loving, people who have the same values. And so if you're Catholic, you can find a Catholic homeschooling group. If you're a Mormon, you can find a Mormon homeschooling group. If you're evangelical, if it doesn't matter, like there are groups in your area, and there are kids that want to be and associated with you.
Including non-denominational.
Oh, for sure. All of that.
I've seen it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We had one of the things I loved about my schooling growing up was, you know, I played sports and I really enjoyed that aspect of being part of a sports team. And,
right.
We found a group here, East Valley, EVAC, East Valley
yeah,
Athletes for
we
Christ.
Did that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we played with them for a while. And then at some points it wasn't working out there. So we ended up, having our kids go to a charter school. And in Arizona, it is very flexible. They will allow that. So that's kind of a uniquely Arizona thing. So you can find those opportunities for choir, orchestra, all those things are available in Arizona. So if your listeners are in other states, it might vary, but you can also create those things. My kids, have on their own. I mean, it's pretty hilarious to me because they do very little they do stuff and then they go, "Hey, by the way, Dad, this is what we're doing." So they in a little homeschool group, they created a dance committee. And so they put on a dance every 2 months, and then they call me and say, "Hey, Dad, do you want to come DJ the dance?" I'll say, "Oh yeah, okay, we'll do that." And they and it's very like so cool. super organized. We get about 70 to 100 kids at these dances. Some of them are more formal. Like we had a winter formal not too long ago. We, you know, country dances, all sorts of fun events. And so like my kids, I say, you guys are a little too socialized, man. Come on. So that, I think that addresses like maybe the biggest concern that we had and the biggest challenges that we had and maybe some of the concerns that some of your listeners might have.
So it sounds like if there is a challenge, it can be addressed. You're not stuck with the challenge.
Mm-hmm. For sure. There is, and it has been addressed. It has, like, people have walked this path, and this is not like your 80s homeschool family anymore. It is, you know, where, you know, I knew these kids that were, you never saw, they were always in the attic. It felt like,
right.
You know, and yeah, they were super smart. They won all the spelling bees, but man, you just never saw them. This is not like that. Like today, the homeschool community is huge. There's probably a homeschooling there's probably, you know, a big convention in your area that you can go attend and see all the resources. Absolutely. And others is here. Yep. So
okay, absolutely. Cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
How do you balance the need to provide structure and discipline with the flexibility and creativity that homeschooling allows? So we're trying to still balance the discipline, right, and the structure, but also allow for the flexibility, the creativity, and all of that.
I think the structure and the balance are within the family and are the rules that you set up as a cornerstone of your family. In other words, these are things we will tolerate. These are things we won't tolerate in our family. That does go to learning, but it is it's got to be fewer rules, I guess, is what I'm saying. As when it comes to academics, you know, what has worked for, I wish I had the person's name off the top of my head now, but he's a very famous scientist. He actually helped crack the Human Genome Project, and he was homeschooled. And people asked him, like, you know, how did your parents provide all this science background and get you, you know, up to speed on all this stuff? And his answer was so fascinating. He said, you know, my parents were hippies. You know, we sat outside and read Shakespeare all day. But what happened is I gained a passion for science. And then I went as deep as I could go. And I learned everything so quickly because I was reading everything about it and anything I could get my hands on it, because I was so passionate about it. And I think, like, there are certain things you want your kids to know. You want your kids to learn how to read. You want your kids to learn how to think. You want your kids to learn right from wrong. You want your kids to maybe most importantly have integrity. Above and beyond that, from an academic point of view, anything else can be learned really quickly on YouTube.
Right. We're so lucky.
No, and seriously, libraries and YouTube.
Do you guys have a structured like routine though at home between this hour and this hour? We are homeschooling and you're very disciplined about that. Or what does that look like?
We definitely have a schedule. For example, my kids do attend seminary every day at the local high school. So that's kind of their time. They go, they ride their bike to the school, they ride their bike home. We have mentors that help with things that we're not good at. So we have they have a class with an algebra teacher once a week. They have a Shakespeare class now like three times a week as they're getting ramping up for this play. But they have that. They have a choir that they attend for, you know. So there's definitely a schedule involved, but it is things that they're interested in that co-align with our values and what we want to have in our home.
Is it more expensive then to be a homeschooler? Are you paying for all these extra classes and things for them to learn? Them learning it in school. You know what I mean?
Okay. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think initially it was. Initially it was because there weren't you're definitely paying your taxes and paying for school at the same time. It's a lot cheaper than going to a private school, but I wouldn't say it's more expensive if you're paying for different student fees and football fees and all kinds of things. And if you're already sending your girl to dance, I mean, those things are really expensive. So, I wouldn't say it's more expensive. And again, like with this being Arizona centric, each state will be different, but in Arizona, we have the ESA program, which has been expanded. And so now you can hire tutors, literally using the fund, using taxpayer dollars. And I love I have mixed feelings on the program itself, but I do think like it is a huge, huge, huge resource and it's a lot of money. I think it's around $7,000 or something per kid per year that kids receive. It's a good program that people can utilize. I have several students, several of my piano students that use it to pay their piano teacher. Yeah. That pay me. Mm-hmm. So in Arizona, absolutely not. There's no way it's more expensive. In other states, it may be a little bit. I think the biggest expense is time. Like you're going to have to recalibrate. Either a parent's going to have to stay home, or is going to have a reduced time at work, and that's a sacrifice that's got to be a choice that you make. But I think that's the biggest cost that you have to look at.
Yeah. ESA pays for these kids, these homeschool kids, to come into my home and I teach them these mindset classes.
Right.
So they're learning about personal development and growth mindset and positive attitude and that kind of stuff. But that's why I appreciate programs like that. But I have tried to get into homeschool groups and one of them was like, do you even accept the idea of ESA? Like it was a no-go, like they don't want you to have to take any government money at all.
Yeah. So no, it is like there's a lot of, it's funny. Are you a real homeschooler?
Yeah. Are you a real homeschooler? Are you like doing this full time? Are you at all? I mean, some people are just hardcore about it. And I'm like,
yeah. And I think it does go back to like what that good, better, best. Like you have to decide what's best for your family.
Yeah.
It's got to be like, what is going to work for you? And you may not get in fact, I guarantee you're not going to get, it's not going to be perfection. That's kind of the point. And I think that we've lost that part, to educate means to draw out. And so what we're trying to do is draw our real intellect, our real personalities out of our kids, make them known to the world, make them see the world in a different way. You've got to do that on your own terms. And part of that process is making mistakes. Part of that process is realize. And this is one of the things that frustrates me about the school system is that little F grade, that fail grade is so frustrating to me because failure is not a bad thing. It is in fact such a powerful thing that can help us learn to do the next thing better. And for that to hold that over a kid's head and to make them think like they're a failure in life because they failed a class is just abhorrent to me.
Yeah, I hate that too. I do not like that at all. All right. Well, I got to just end with one question here.
Oh, wow. This went fast.
This goes super fast, huh? Yeah. I found that my listeners like to keep it as short as possible.
Yeah.
they get sick of hearing my voice. So here it is. What advice do you have for parents who are considering homeschooling their children, but they might be uncertain about how to get started or whether it's the right choice for them? Maybe just give us a quick little tidbit of advice there.
Wow. A quick tidbit of advice there. I would say, do it. I would say, try it. I mean, I would do the risk reward aspect of it. Like what is the risk to trying it versus what is the reward It's so much bigger than the risk. It is so much vaster than the risk, you know, and I think COVID opened people's minds a lot to what was actually going on in the classroom when they saw what was happening over Zoom. I think people are noticing, because of what's happening in school boards around the country, that as Adam Smith said 300 years ago, that schools are not made for the student. They are made for the ease and they're made for the convenience of the teacher, and they're made for the convenience of the master, as he says it. And it's really true. Like, schools are set up to make it as convenient as possible for teachers, both good and bad, to indoctrinate their kids, to lecture to our kids. And I think people are seeing that more and more now. So if you have an inkling and you want to try it, I would just say, do it. Just try a semester. I have to say this though, because I've seen a lot of this happen, and people will try to homeschool and they don't realize that there is a, they have to get the system out of their kids. Like, sometimes it takes a year for you to, you have to rebuild that relationship with your kid. I'm not trying to be discouraging. I'm just saying, like, I've seen so many families, they'll pull their kids out for a semester and they'll think, like, what am I doing? Like, my kid just wants to play video games. He just wants to, he doesn't want to do anything. I can't get him to read. There is a process that they have to go through to get that out of them and rebuild that relationship. And I would just say, be patient. It will work. Like, we, as human beings, what made human beings so great and so amazing is our ability to learn and to adapt. We're not the strongest in the world on the planet. We're not the most ferocious on the planet, but we can learn and we can adapt and we can communicate that to others so we can teach others how to do it. That is our natural ability. That's our natural habitat. And the more you allow your kid to explore and be their own little scientists and be their own little artist in whatever way that works best for them, you'll draw that more and more out of them. So I would just really encourage people to try it and to be patient as that toxic waste of school is slowly oozed out of them over time. It's a detoxification process. It really is.
System. Yeah.
It really is. So I guess the two things would be, try it and don't get discouraged. You know, you know what's best for your kid.
That is so well said. That was so good. Just have patience and do it and try it.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I appreciate all your words of wisdom on this topic of homeschooling, and hopefully it sparked some interest in people to maybe take the dive and do it.
Heather, I had a blast, and I really hope that people will do that. And you know what? It's courses like what you're providing for your kids. Those are way more important than you know, the algebra class that they're going to take. I'm going to be honest, you know, learning how to think, how to have a proper mindset, how to overcome obstacles is way more important than what they're learning in most classes today.
I really wish, like, my dream would be to start my own school, right?
Yeah.
Here's all the things we're going to have, and here's what we're not going to have any more of. And there's just so much crap that goes into a public school system or even a charter school system, you know, but I love the idea.
Because it's publicly funded. I mean, let's be honest, you know?
Yeah. I just love the idea of kids kind of learning at their own pace and having more of a healthful environment that really, you know, sparks more curiosity and cultivates more culture, of course, but also creativity to just
Are you familiar with doctors? I think his name is Citra. I'll have Citra? To look him up.
Huh? I'm not familiar.
He did a TED talk maybe a few years ago. He ran an experiment. He put a computer, a computer into a room, and he had what he called a grandma, you know, sitting there with a bunch of kids, nothing more. The kids knew nothing about the computer. They just sat there and just kind of watch and see what would happen. And the person in charge, the grandma, was not supposed to tell them anything. Just be there and make sure that chaos did not ensue. So they just sat there, and the kids went over to the computer, and he said within weeks had the thing turned on, were playing games on it, were teaching other kids how to program on it. And he said, well, that maybe these are just remarkable kids. Maybe it's just them. And so he took it, ran the same experiment. And I think this was in a third world country, I think in Africa, and literally a village. He put the computer outside under a hut. And next thing you know, these kids were just coming up to the computer, and within weeks they were playing games and having fun and teaching other people how to use it. And that is our natural habitat, is just to communicate, learn, be very curious, wonder what's out there in the world. And we just need to allow kids to do that.
I love it. So good. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike, for coming on.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah, you're awesome. And you're doing some great things with your kids. And if you'd like the listeners to find you anywhere, where can they find you?
You can definitely find me at andifloveremains.com is a podcast. Mike Levitt, musician on Facebook, or just, look me up. Feel free. DM me if you have any questions, let me know.
Sounds like you teach piano lessons, or you?
I teach piano in the here locally. I teach piano, voice, and composition. I play in several bands in the area, and I record. So yeah, I've got lots of things going on, and I'm happy to help people in any of those areas.
And it sounds like you work with kids in these areas and adults, both, right?
I do. I mentor kids and adults, and it's been a lot of fun teaching adults, because they realize what they've missed, and it's fun to see them spark. And what's really exciting to me is when I'll have a student whose mom or dad wants to learn as well, and see them trying and learning how to, seeing them fail at the piano and learning how to overcome some of those things. And that's part of homeschooling too. It's like when you see your parents struggle doing things hard and then overcoming those things, there's not a better lesson in the world than that.
Oh, true. I just started taking piano lessons, and I'm an adult, of course, but it's hard. And it's like, oh my gosh, my kids are better than me at piano, and they're doing, it's just interesting trying to learn a new instrument or skill.
That's wonderful. We'll keep it up. Keep playing up. Keep, get those fingers in the right spot. It's
get them in the right spot. Work on those scales. I'm working on the C scale this week. So.
Oh, right on, right on. Right. It's funny. Yeah. One of the first scales I teach my all my kids as early as I can is the blues scale, because that's the scale that changed my life. If you can play the blues, you can just have fun and just sit at the piano for hours and just like, oh, I love that. So
that would be cool. I would love that.
Very easy. Have your teacher teach you.
I'll tell her. Yeah. That's what's coming next.
Right on.
All right, Mike. Thanks again. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Heather.
Okay. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy this podcast with Mike Levitt on homeschooling? If so, you know what to do. Copy and paste, share in your Instagram, Facebook stories, tag me in it. Let me know what you like best about this episode. And if you wouldn't mind, go on over to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate and review this podcast. It helps more people to find the podcast. See you next week.